I'm such a sucker for these kind of targeted ads.
What's up?
So today parents posted on Instagram, I'm an ER pediatrician. Here are the 7 things I never let my kids do.
Okay.
Let's go through them. Number one, ride in front before they turn 13. I made my daughter Hayden. I made her wait till she was 13 and go in the front seat.
You mean in the car?
Yes.
Well, I thought that was the law most places, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you can hide behind the law. That's what I would do. I think people are super eager for their own reasons to put their kids in front. They want to hang out with them. They know that they want the big person seat and they want to have those regular conversations with them. But keep them safe. Keep them in the back. Why not?
My reasoning was much different, is that I also have a toddler who's 4. So mm-hmm. if she was in the back with her,
yeah.
she could deal with her and I wouldn't have to worry about it. So that's why I kept saying like, nope, got to wait till you're 13. Got to wait till you're 13.
Still slightly selfish. Okay.
Also on the list, jump on most trampolines. Trampolines, I think, are the silent killer.
They are very dangerous. Like, yeah. I can remember, you know, growing up, honestly, everybody had one. Mm-hmm. And I can remember being injured on one at a party or two also. But then I can remember there was a time, too, where people all of a sudden like, nope, can't have it anymore. Our insurance company said no.
Yes.
Yeah. People started getting sued. It seems like the last few years they were like, oh, the world is distracted. Bring back those trampolines in force.
I feel like when the insurance is threatening to take away your insurance if you put one, like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
You might be right.
Also on this list, things that ER doctors says they would never let their children do. Ride an ATV. Agreed. This is terrifying. And I know depending on where you live, this is commonplace or not. But I remember like my best friend got her kids them for Christmas one year. Mm. And I was just shocked. I was like, they're going to flip this thing and kill themselves.
Yeah, I had a dirt bike when I was like 9 years old, mm-hmm. and it was the greatest thing ever. So they can be dangerous, no question about it. You must have supervision. On the other hand, they're kind of awesome. Mm,
swim alone.
Yeah, common sense, definitely. I always tell people, listen, your kids are welcome at my pool, absolutely. But you are in charge of their safety. And even when I tell them that and they say that, I know that I won't be having any drinks while those kids are there. I won't be doing anything like that. I have to make sure that my focus is on it, too.
Yep. Ride anything without a helmet. Shouldn't that just be for everybody, not just kids?
I feel like they make you wear a helmet for everything nowadays anyway. So, okay.
What ER doctors say they would never let their kids do? Pet unfamiliar animals. This is a big one.
Yes. Yes. As a dog owner, I don't want you trying to pet my animal without permission.
I just had my post go semi-viral on Instagram. Hey, Dakota, my little one. Almost got eaten by a beluga whale at the aquarium.
Oh my gosh.
Like the beluga whale, I mean, the plexiglass is there. So the glass couldn't, like, she couldn't actually go through the glass.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious because the beluga whale went to go eat her.
Yeah.
She was so little. Yeah. So I wouldn't, like, don't let your kids pet unfamiliar dogs or beluga whales.
Right. Let that be a lesson to you.
And this last one is go to a house without asking about firearms. That's one that you don't even think about, but really smart. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending in. Why? The resurgence of the Oscars. No, just kidding. It was just boring like it always was before in the past. Yeah. I can't.
Super safe, super long,
gosh.
Super slow.
Yeah, all of it.
Almost made you wish somebody would jump up and slap somebody.
I don't even.
Slap me.
What am I doing here? I was thinking about it. I'm like, that slap was the biggest thing to ever happen in the Oscars.
It's been a long time.
Not that Will Smith needs a high five because what he did was terrible.
Totally wrong.
Right. Yeah. But, like, it made people care again.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Kimmel is the host, and he gets up, and of course he has to address the slap, and this is what he says.
We want you to have fun. We want you to feel safe. And most importantly, we want me to feel safe. So we have strict policies in place. If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor and permitted to give a 19-minute long speech. No, but seriously, the Academy has a crisis team in place. If anything unpredictable or violent happens during the ceremony, just do what you did last year. Nothing. Yeah. Sit there and do absolutely nothing.
You know, think about the most memorable moments of the Oscars over the last, like, 2 decades, and they're pretty cringy, right? I mean, it's when they awarded the wrong name to mm-hmm. Best Picture, right?
Correct.
When they announced that.
Yep.
And then the other time would be, honestly, the thing that comes to mind is Adrian Brody kissing Halle Berry. Like, and that was like 20 years ago. And imagine that. You just kiss somebody without a plan nowadays.
I don't even remember what that or what you're talking
See
about.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, so the two things that are the major takeaways from last night, Michelle Yeoh won first woman of Asian descent Descent to win an Oscar for Best Actress. That
Congratulations.
Was great.
Yes. I mean, everybody saw that coming.
Yep. Brendan Fraser won Best Actor, which officially makes his comeback complete.
Yeah.
A far cry from Encino Man, that's for sure. But the other thing, it was 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Wow.
Now, we always joke that the Oscars are too long, but it was 3 hours and 40 minutes. I fell asleep 40 minutes in. I woke up, which felt like a full night's sleep later, and it was still
going on
TV.
For another 20 minutes.
And Jimmy Kimmel made a joke about it, and I actually thought this was the smartest thing to happen, and I got excited for it.
We put all the categories back in because the movie community wanted it. We want your speeches to be moving. We also want to keep it moving. So speech goes on too long. This year, we're not going to play you off stage. Instead, we have a group of performers from the movie RRR who are going to dance you off stage.
They were dancing off stage, and I was like, yes, do that. Like, it was a joke.
Yes.
No, I believed in my heart that it was real. And then I started thinking about it. I go, Major League Baseball has got it right with this pitch clock because you want things to go faster. There's some things in life that just take too long. I mean, and I was like, what can we put a pitch clock on besides these Oscars? Because every single person that accepts an award gets up there and they go, I'm going to keep this short. I promise I would.
Yeah, they're all lying.
They don't do it.
Yeah, no, they're all lying.
All those people need to work in radio. So you know what it's like when you literally have 13 seconds and that's it.
Yeah,
you know?
Time clocks could be helpful in certain situations, that's for sure.
Right. Like when you go to the dentist, you're always there for too long.
Yeah. Oil change.
Oh, gosh.
Customer service hold times.
Yeah, news coverage of the elections, too long.
Right. Cable. Internet install time windows.
Yes, definitely. If you're a parent, any dance recital that your kid is in. Oh, gosh.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, get us a pitch clock for all these things, and definitely the Oscars, too.
How about my wife's time to get ready to go out?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You see people doing questionable things all the time, and you think to yourself, that is all I need to know about you. It's your chance to get it off your chest right now. Call 1-800-330-9999. Morgan, that's all I need to know about you.
If you park on the curb and then go into the grocery store, that's all I need to know about you.
I can't with these people. Like, why are you so special that you get to park in front of everybody in the no parking zone?
I mean, we have many markets in my town, and I would say that, you know, like half of them, people are well-behaved. Other ones, though, it's like anarchy in the parking lot. People tend to leave their cars. I have seen somebody pull up, put their hazards on, and get out of the car, turn it off, and go in. And I thought they must be going to pick somebody up, right? Maybe somebody's got crutches or something like that. You know, somebody's injured or whatever. No, I saw that same person in the grocery store doing their shopping. And I was moving faster than them. And my car was properly parked outside in the parking lot.
It's very strange.
I came out, and they were ringing out behind me, and then they loaded their groceries into their car. Like, I'd be worried my battery was going to go dead. The hazards were on that long.
I can't even imagine doing something like that.
Having the audacity. It was very strange.
Natalie, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're one of those people that, like, walks around the grocery store with the food you plan to buy and are, like, already eating it, like the grapes, oranges, and stuff like that, that's all I need to know. Like, that's gross.
It is gross.
Is the only exception children? Because there are certain things when I take Dakota, my little one, grocery shopping, that she's so excited for as we reach those parts in the grocery store. She knows that in the produce section, there's like this stand that has like applesauce, and she'll have one of those applesauces, and then I'll put it on the side and I'll pay for it on the way out.
Mm.
She knows that once we get to the Oreos, I'm going to open an Oreo and I'm going to give it to her to keep her quiet.
You open the Oreos?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, she's four.
You are weak. Look at you.
Oh, I am. She has broken me. That child has broken me.
Listen, as long as you don't let her keep her Oreo hands all over the cart without cleaning that up at the end, too, I'm fine with that. Kids feel like an exception. The other one is like, your blood sugar's low or something. Like, let's get a Snickers in you.
That's happened before, too.
Right. If you're a regular person and you're turning into Danny DeVito with a bad disposition in the middle of the aisle, like, let's get some caramel goodness in you. But other than that, you're right. We should not eat until we're actually leaving the store.
Jose, that's all I need to know about you.
If you brush your teeth at work, that's all I need to know about you. There's a guy at my work that literally is brushing his teeth like every hour on the hour. And I'm all for good dental hygiene, but it almost becomes OCD at some point, you know?
It has to be OCD. I mean, if you're brushing your teeth that often, right?
I had a guy like this that I worked with. Great set of choppers, man. 10 years older than me. Good teeth. Always smelled minty when he was walking by. But it's a little bit off-putting when you walk into the men's room at work and it smells like somebody's bathroom at 9 a.m. in the morning.
I mean, I know that you're supposed to brush your teeth after every meal.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine brushing my teeth at work. The only time I ever think that's an exception is if you have a dentist appointment directly after work and you have to brush your teeth before going to the dentist.
Or if you're like the CEO and you got a private bathroom,
well,
that's one thing,
that's
right?
Different. Yeah. None of us have our private bathroom.
Not one.
The average family argues 6 times a day, and the number is higher when you include arguments you have with people that aren't in your family. Weekends are prime time for disagreements, too.
6 times a day, huh?
Uh-huh.
Makes me feel less terrible.
All right, now it's time for you to decide. Who had the dumbest argument of the weekend? Raven, your dumbest argument.
Well, I had to, I caught a bunny in our backyard in one of those have a heart traps, and I had to relocate him 5 miles. And so when I came back, my wife told me that I was actually a terrible person because I broke up that bunny from his family and moved him out to where a place where he doesn't have a home or friends or anything like that.
It is sad when you have to move an animal and then you're like, wait a minute, but where's his mommy and daddy?
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it was a full grown rabbit. I don't know where his mommy and daddy are. I looked up the lifespan because after I had to talk myself down from the ledge.
Right.
And it looks like they only live a couple of years. So mommy and daddy are long gone.
Okay.
Probably.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. Producer Sean sent me the audio of his argument with his girlfriend.
So what's the problem?
You always adjust the shower head so that when I take a shower, it slams me in the face.
Maybe you should be less short.
That's not how it works.
So did you ever think about adjusting it before you go in?
I have, okay? I do it. And clearly, once in a while, I forget. So the other half of the time, you should be adjusting it.
I kind of agree with her.
Oh, come on.
I mean,
everybody has to adjust it when they get in the shower. It's just the way it works.
You know what my husband does in my shower that makes me crazy? I don't reach the top. So when he gives Dakota a bath, our little one, we only have one full bath upstairs, and he takes the shower curtain and he flips it over the top of the shower rod.
Yeah. What?
And I don't reach to get it down. So I have to climb on top of the toilet, and then he's like, you're going to break the toilet. I go, put it down. You know I can't reach.
Just hopping, trying to reach.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm going to throw out, like, stretch my neck out. John, dumbest argument you had this weekend.
I took my son to a Jurassic Park show where they have, like, you know, the dinosaurs come out, and they're life-size and everything like that. I was scared. I was a little worried that he was going to get scared, so I bought him one of those light-up swords beforehand.
Mm.
And he's 3 years old, so the dinosaurs come out and he's like swinging the sword. He's like, yeah. Problem is, I couldn't get him to stop swinging the sword for the rest of the day. So we leave the venue with all of these hundreds of other parents with their children, and he is just swinging this thing with abandon. Yeah. You ever try to get a 3-year-old boy to stop swinging his brand new sword? It's not going to work.
Give him a sword. Can't give him a Nerf gun.
I can't believe you didn't even think that obviously that was going to be a problem.
I mean, I guess it's that I didn't think that far forward.
All right.
That's every sword from the rest of his life, by the way.
My argument with my husband is an argument I have often, and you guys tell me if you think I'm crazy. My husband has a magic power where whenever he's around dogs, they get so excited that they pee. I don't know if you've ever heard of anything like this, but the dogs go crazy. It's not one or two dogs. It's several dogs this has happened to. The dogs get so excited, and they just go to the bathroom inside. And he knows that my best friend Danielle's Doberman does it every single time.
I don't know why you always instigate the dog. You know what's going to happen.
It's just the animal instinct in me. They know and they fear me.
Yeah, but then why do you know it's going to happen? So if you call the dog over, you know what's going to happen, and then Danielle's got to clean up after.
I didn't call the dog over. Dallas just came to me.
Yeah, but you knew. You gave him the look. You knew what you were doing.
He smelled me and he had instant fear.
I think he likes it. He likes that he makes dogs just go to the bathroom spontaneously.
See, you say excited, but peeing yourself is not an excited thing. It's a fear thing, though. Mm-hmm. It's something that people do when they're terrified.
With dogs,
you
know, it's either or. Yeah. Yeah, it could be either or. Yeah. I mean, does he come in and go, ooh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, then if he does that, then
he's
it's
that guy.
Yeah.
Right. Who had the dumbest argument of the weekend? Producer Sean.
I got to go with you, Anna.
I'm telling you. John.
No, yeah, definitely the dog thing.
All right, Raven.
I'll go with you. Sure, why not?
Speaking of my husband, happy 18th wedding anniversary. Our anniversary is today.
Nice.
I love you very much.
Congratulations.
Even though you do these dumb things that make me crazy. What do you know by heart? there's this guy that's trending right now because he made it his job, even though he's not a Jungle Cruise skipper, to memorize the entire monologue that the skippers use on the ride at Disney.
Oh, if you've ever been on that ride, it's memorable.
Yeah, so if you've never done it, right, there's a ride where it's kind of like you get on a boat and there's a fake skipper that's not actually driving anything, but he pretends the whole time, and they do a monologue through it that's all puns. It sounds like this.
Welcome aboard the world famous Jungle Cruise. My name is Skipper Alexei. I'll be your skipper, your guide, your lion tamer, your hippo wrestler, and if you don't laugh at my jokes, I'll be your swimming instructor.
You get the point. It's kind of like that for like the entire ride. We can play more, but you get it.
I didn't realize they actually weren't driving the boat.
Raven.
I know, I swear. I didn't realize. The girl was very believable when I was there. She was very believable. I thought she was driving the boat. I thought just, you know. Okay. They do it all day long.
That's a different conversation for another time.
All right.
Yep. All right. And I started thinking, like, why would you memorize that? But I think that we all have that thing that at some point in our life, we just memorized it and then it stuck with us forever.
Sure.
And it always upset me that I could remember the dumbest things, like song lyrics and all that, but I couldn't remember, like, the answers for my test. Mm-hmm. That was always a problem.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it. I'm like, what is the thing that I know by heart? And I remember when I was hazed, I mean, when I pledged my sorority, that we had to memorize the Greek alphabet.
Okay.
And I can go all the way up to Xi, and then I forget the rest. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Xi, Omicron, Pi. Then I get stuck.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still pretty impressive.
Right.
I mean, it's stuff I don't know.
Right, well, but it's pointless. Like, why do I need to know the Greek alphabet? Like, there's no world where I need to know the Greek alphabet.
Yeah. I know the LL Cool J Boomin' System album. Mama Said Knock You Out. A lot of Tribe Called Quest. I know Righty Tighty Lefty Loosey.
Oh.
I tell that one to my wife all the time when she's doing something in the yard or in the garage, and yet she still tightens it the wrong way.
No, that Righty Tighty Lefty Loosey is really important.
That's a big one.
That's a huge one to know.
I mean, people know it the world over, really.
Yeah.
And that allows you to remember things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those little things that you do that, you know, those little tricks that you have, when they stick the first time, you're like, oh, solved. And then you remember that for life.
This guy went viral because he memorized the entire monologue of the Disney Jungle Cruise, like the ride you go on at Disney World.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, some things you learn and then they just stick with you for the rest of your life and you don't know why. What do you have memorized by heart all these years later? 1-800-330-9999. Anne Marie.
Schoolhouse Rock is the most amazing teaching tool, and I can sing the preamble of the United States Constitution at the drop of a hat.
Well, you're going to have to do it now.
Go right now.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution.
I mean, that's amazing.
And Marie's like, chill out, Raven. I'm not done yet.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't know, you know, given the fact that I don't know the song by heart, I didn't know if this is going to be like the State of the Union. This is going to go on for a long time. Great job. I mean, that's fantastic.
I'm sorry.
No, that's great.
It is a little long. Sorry about that.
It's the preamble to the Constitution. You can take your time.
Right.
Let it seem important. Yeah, let it fly a little bit, right? Have a great day, Anne-Marie.
Quinn, what do you know by heart?
I know Loretta Lynn's song, Coal Miner's Daughter.
You got to give us a few lines.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was born a coal miner's daughter in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler.
I mean, any guy that's driving like a big truck and you start doing that, he's in love with you. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Harlan, what do you know by heart?
You know, I know little sayings that plenty of things feature animals, like one monkey don't stop no show, or what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander.
He's got the dad-isms, but you're leaning animals, though.
Exactly.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm the same way, but they're not centered around animals. But I can do that all the time. I had a boss that his name was Boyd. And we used to call him Boydisms. And he just had a million of those things. He was an old gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps. So, I mean, he'd just been saying these things for 70, 80 years to people around him while they were under some sort of artillery fire.
Caitlin, what do you know by heart?
I know the book of Shrek, like the book that the movie Shrek is based on by heart. It was my favorite as a kid.
Hmm.
Give us some lines from it.
Sure. It starts, his mother was ugly and his father was ugly, but Shrek was uglier than the two of them put together. And then when he meets the princess, they're both really ugly and they read each other poems. Mm-hmm. And it's like, your nose is so scary. Oh, let us not tarry. I think we should marry. Shrek nipped at her nose. She nipped at his ear. They clawed their way into each other's arms. Like fire and smoke, these two belong together.
Was this a children's book, or all of a sudden it got real steamy?
Right, it's got Game of Thrones just.
Yeah. Like
right.
50 Shades.
50 Shades of Game of Thrones. Right, got a little bit freaky deaky there. All right.
That's pretty cool.
It is. It's very different than the movie. It's much more like, yeah, we like each other because we're gross. And I loved it as a kid.
My toddler, there's certain books, even though she has a million different books, that she always wants the same books read to her every single night. And sometimes I'm tired and I want to skip pages. And she can't read. She's four,
right,
you know?
Right, so you fool her.
And you would think so. But she, like, I'll like skip a few pages and she'll be like, no. No, and she'll come back, and she'll remember that they're missed. Like, she remembers, like, every single word.
Wow.
Yeah, they know. I was the same way, obviously.
Yeah. What do you know by heart? Something you learned somewhere along the way, and you never forgot it. 1-800-330-9999. Robbie.
So in high school, I played Hamlet, and I could still rattle off the entire To Be or Not To Be monologue.
Oh, that's a great one. Let's go.
Oh, perfect. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles and by opposing end them. To die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. To the consummation devoutly to be wished. And there's more, but I could stop there.
That seems amazing.
I really wanted the emotion. So I need you to go home, get in a full costume, and then call me back, okay?
Okay, perfect.
Thanks for sharing, man. Have a great day.
All right, John, tell me, what's the thing you have memorized?
Well, I'm in my middle 60s, and when I was, I believe, about 18, I bought my first vehicle. That was right around when they started giving insurance certificate cards that you had to carry in your glove box. And they sent me my card, and it was the wrong VIN number. They must have sent me a dozen cards over X amount of time, and they continuously got the VIN number wrong. So by the time they finally got it right, I have my VIN number memorized, and it's been in my brain for 40-some-odd years now.
Oh, man, that's a nightmare.
I know my VIN number from the first car I had alone.
I mean, it has to be like 27 numbers long. That number is so long.
Yeah, you got letters in there and whatnot. It's a mess.
Exactly.
Yes.
Listen, by the time they finished, I knew what the letters and the codes and the numbers.
You were like, Jackson, X-ray, Carl.
Julia, what's that thing you still have memorized?
I have the Big Bang Theory theme song memorized.
All right, lay it on us.
All right. Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state nearly 14 million years ago. Expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool. The autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools. They built the wall. They built the pyramid. Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, now be honest. Do you prefer her or Ken hosting Jeopardy now?
Ken.
Yes.
All the way.
I know it's sad. It was great when they were still trying everybody out, but now I don't know what happened, but I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day. No.
Jennifer, what do you know by heart?
I before E except after C. I know that by heart.
How many times a day do you think you still say that to yourself, Anna?
So many times.
Right. At least once or twice.
Yeah.
Receipt. Oh. I'm doing it over and over and over again. Guess what? I'm relying on the computer most of the time. But every time I see it underlined in red, I say to myself, didn't I get that right?
That's a good one to remember. And the one that stays with you your whole life.
Yeah, I still spell friends, fry ends.
Fry the ends off your friends.
I still spell it that way.
Right. Callista, what do you know by heart?
I don't even remember my husband's cell phone number, to be honest with you. But this soliloquy from Shakespeare that I learned in high school, it's still in my head. This tomorrow, tomorrow, and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. I can't get that out of my head. I can keep going, but I don't want to bore you people.
Oh, that is deep Shakespeare right there.
That was very romantic. Yeah. Right there. That was fantastic. Like, I remember Act 2, like Scene 2, Romeo and Juliet, like 80% of it. But everybody heard that over and over and over again. You did a dive on that one, girl.
Yeah.
I can't get it out of my head. And like I said, I can go all the way to the end of it, but we're not going to do that right now.
Yeah. All right. Oscars were last night, and They were very long. But on Friday, we had predictions of what would happen. Three major predictions. Producer John put it to song. Here was the first one.
This Sunday at the Oscars, I wonder what's gonna go down. Well, Jimmy Kimmel is hosting, and it's great to have him back. I bet you in the monologue, he makes a joke about the slap.
Did he make a joke about the slap? Of course he did. Here's what he said.
We want you to have fun. We want you to feel safe. So we have strict policies in place. If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor and permitted to give a 19-minute long speech.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty funny joke. It's not that great, right? It's just, it's not even like the show didn't have anything all that crazy memorable. The most memorable thing was Lady Gaga asked a photographer if he was all right once he fell.
Yeah, that was it. And Hugh, yeah. And Hugh Jackman also like was really annoyed during the interview portion, like on the red carpet. And it was like he clearly didn't want to be there. And that was trending all night,
like,
too.
Leave me alone, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I also said that Jimmy Kimmel would like pretend to be slapped. They would do some kind of reenactment. I was wrong. Also in the song over the predictions...
That Will Smith slap, I really hope it's funny, because you know that this will be at least a 3-hour show. It's the Oscars. I wonder what's gonna go down.
Now, Raven and I disagreed on this. Raven thought for sure that this show would be under 3 hours. I was like, there's no way they can make it under 3 hours.
This was the year that I thought that, you know what, the Oscars, look at all these declining ratings for forever. They might have some extra eyes here because of last year's stuff. I thought, they're going to get it right. They're going to go 3 hours or less. I thought for sure they would do it.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel said that there was a strong demand to bring back the presentation of all 23 categories. I don't know by who.
By who?
By who?
Who demanded that?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Okay. And then they also made this joke during the monologue that they would do this if your speeches went too long.
Speech goes on too long. This year, we're not going to play you off stage. Instead, we have a group of performers from the movie RRR. We're going to dance you off stage.
Well, spoiler alert, he was just kidding, even though I thought it was real. It definitely went too long. It was 3 hours and 40 minutes long.
They just can't get out of their own way.
Oh, my gosh.
Pre-record this at noon and then play it back.
Yeah, then we had one last prediction.
Tom Cruise is the darling of the Hollywood elite. Despite the time on Oprah that he jumped up and down on his feet, he's in love. Made a blockbuster in pandemic time. So the stuff with Scientology is all just fine. At the Oscars, it's gonna be a real good time.
The prediction that Raven put forward was that Tom Cruise was gonna get a standing ovation for saving movies. Well, something a little bit different happened.
Top Gun Maverick, the movie that saved the movies. Everyone loved Top Gun, everybody. I mean, you know, Tom and James Cameron didn't show up tonight. The two guys who insisted we go to the theater didn't come to the theater.
They didn't show up. There was no standing ovation. He didn't even care enough to go.
Did they explain why?
No.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And then the one last prediction that Raven had out of nowhere was that Jada Pinkett Smith was going to show up. Also wasn't there.
Yeah.
She was not there either.
I mean, that would have made it a show, though.
Yeah. 0-3, we were. Condiments gone wrong. What did you see somebody eat that you were like, that's nasty? That's nasty.
Mm.
Now, I feel like as a parent, I can't judge because my toddler lives on mini muffins, Oreo cookies, and chocolate milk. So I don't think at any point should I be the one to judge what another parenting style is when it comes to their kids eating.
Yeah.
But last night I was at a pizza restaurant and I saw a child, he had to be maybe 8 or 9 years old, unscrew the top of the salt shaker.
Yeah.
And then just pour it on the slice of pizza.
Oh, my gosh.
And eat it like that, like eating sand on the pizza.
What?
Poured it on. Poured, like, half of it on. And then poured the other half on the next slice. And then used his fork to just spread it around. And his mom is just eating her salad. Just doesn't say a word.
He didn't think it was Parmesan cheese or something?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I
would think that he was going to, like, burst right at that moment.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, I know salt isn't good for you. I know when you're younger, you can endure some of that stuff. But I would think he would spontaneously just combust.
I was like, my tongue.
Right.
I just imagine, like, my tongue swelling up.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I'm
pretty
see people,
normal.
You think so? You eat normal things?
Yeah, I mean, I lived out west. I think I was probably doing ranch on everything before a lot of people were, before it, like, kind of spread out.
Mm.
But I think everybody does it now, and I do honey mustard on everything. Like, the only weird thing, like, so I went and I got a sub the other day, and I put it was with my wife, and we put mayo on a steak and cheese.
Oh yeah,
just mm-hmm. but just mayo. No, okay. And when I do mayo, I typically associate that with there has to be lettuce. There has to be at least lettuce.
Oh, I'm a mayo fan. I eat tons of mayo.
So you'll put mayo on anything?
On anything.
Yeah, that's about as weird as I get.
Producer John, producer Sean, John, you told me this off the air. You have to tell the story. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny that Maria even mentions ranch because people love the pizza with the ranch dressing.
Oh, love it.
But my son's mother did something different with the pizza. Now, root beer and pizza, that goes together, right? That's delicious. You get your pizza, you get a glass of root beer. She would take her cheese pizza, though, and dunk it in the root beer. Still does it. It's
terrible.
Nasty.
That's terrible.
It's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's terrible. And that's why it fell apart.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Right.
Yeah, that's why it didn't work out. That's why it didn't work out.
That's how I figured.
Because not only do you get the cold, like you get the soda on the pizza, you also get cheese in the root beer. Yeah. People forget that part.
Grease.
So she still drinks it after, too?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's terrible.
Sean, nasty food combination.
I put ketchup on my steak. And that blows everyone's minds.
That makes me upset.
But yeah. I grew up eating it like that. Like, isn't that weird?
That's terrible. I mean, if you have a decent cut of meat, you are desecrating it.
Well, that's yes. it. Like, what kind of yeah. steak are we talking about?
Is it a $2 steak?
Oh, you guys are going to hate this even more. I want my steak well done.
Oh, dude, gosh.
Yep.
Now, I would never. Like, to me, I'm with you guys. Like, I think that sounds actually disgusting. But we used to dip our steak terrible. In ketchup all the time.
Oh, gosh.
And if it's a London broil that's been, like, you know, absolutely annihilated and the only thing you put on it was salt and pepper, then sure.
I mean, like, then you're doing it just as a lubricant to get it down your throat.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you're doing it for taste.
I don't know. Some people got some weird food combinations. What's yours? Last night, I watched an 8 or 9 year old child unscrew the top of a salt shaker, pour it over a slice of pizza, spread it around with his fork, and then eat it.
And his mother sat there and did nothing.
Like it was totally normal.
I feel like I would have been slapped, straight up slapped. And that goes for like if it happened yesterday and it was my wife watching me.
He was even putting it in his mouth through like it was a pixie stick.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
What is the condiment gone wrong combination? 1-800-330-9999. Hector.
For a while, when I was a teen up until my mid-20s, I was never a fan of the pineapple pizza, Hawaiian pizza. But I used to use or put bananas on top of my pizza and eat it.
Bananas on your pizza.
That's wacky.
I mean, I love bananas. I love pizza. I don't think I would ever put a banana. I have a banana right here. If you walked in with a pizza and tried to put my banana on it, we'd be fighting.
That seems wrong.
Yeah. You gotta try it. It's amazing.
I wouldn't use...
I mean, who is he, Elvis?
I know.
Weird.
Jessica, what do you eat?
Well, my son puts mayo on his stuffing.
Mayo on his stuffing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I could put mayo on anything.
That is weird. At the Thanksgiving table, somebody's putting on mayo. They're smearing it on there. Oh.
They bring out the gravy, and then they're like, Ma, bring out the mayo. I need the Hellmann's.
Oh, no.
Hey, Jennifer, what's your condiment gone wrong?
Oh, my gosh. My son will eat a piece of fruit with the sauce, the powdered sugar, and then he adds cinnamon to it also. He grosses me out.
He adds cinnamon into it?
Add cinnamon to it, yeah.
I'm either a powder or a sauce guy. And I could do both, but it's not both at the same time.
But cinnamon? What are you going to do with cinnamon?
One or the other.
Yeah.
Oh.
We do it at home, and he just adds it to it. He loves it so much. I'm like, that's disgusting.
That is disgusting. I don't offer cinnamon at the pizza-free table.
Houston, what's that condiment gone wrong?
Well, I love tuna macaroni salad, but I love to dip it in ketchup.
Oh!
That's nasty.
Oh, goodbye.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
Tuna and ketchup.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, my gosh.
Jesse, what's your condiment gone bad?
Well, I put honey on pizza, so
whoa.
I think people think that's disgusting, but I love it.
There was a pizza, and I know this sounds crazy, that I used to get at a restaurant that no longer exists. And, you know, I come from a pizza family. Like, my parents own pizza restaurants. And I mentioned it to my father, and he goes, oh, we should try it one time. But they make a white pizza that's drizzled with hot honey, goat cheese, and pistachios. It was one of the most delicious things I've ever eaten in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. How do you eat your hot, like, do you put that on sauce, though, red sauce?
I do.
Oh.
I do, actually.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's all of a sudden that
Yeah,
changed.
We're going to hang up on
yeah,
you now,
no,
sir.
Right.
We're not going to talk to you again.
Yep.
What?
Elena, what's your weird condiment combination?
See, this is the thing. It's not me, but it irks me every time my kid sticks his french fries in the Frosty. Like, it just irks me. And I know it's not a weird thing. I know it's a thing, but it just drives me crazy. Like, why would you want to stick that hot, delicious French fry inside of some cold ice cream?
I agree with you. My daughter does it, too.
The frosty one is a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even the chocolate milkshake at McDonald's, like sticking the French fries in there, a lot of people do it. Hayden does it, my daughter. I just don't understand why. It's good to eat the French fries and then drink the milkshake, but the idea of putting one inside the other, I can't figure out why it bothers me so much.
I mean, I like sweet salty, but like that to me is like pretzels and like chocolate. You know what I mean? Pretzels and like caramel, peanuts in my ice cream, like that type of stuff I like. But I don't know, hot French fry. Maybe it's the temperature that does it. I don't know.
Maybe it's that it's fried. You know?
Could be.
Yeah.
Right. Fried to me, you're dipping in like a cocktail sauce or a tart. You know what? I don't have any rules, actually. If I think it's good, I'll eat any of it. Yeah. But that I don't think is great.
Right. You want a condiment. You want something savory. And the frosty, that's not it.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Sarah and Greg. Sarah, what's going on?
So I think in my house, my husband is telling me how I should raise my daughter, and he kind of needs to back off. Things have really worked out for us, and he's just getting a little bit impatient with both of us, and I'm tired of it.
All right, give us the backstory. What's going on here, Sarah?
We're both remarried. My daughter's from an ex, and we've been married for a year, and it's been really great, but it's becoming an issue because he thinks that I'm too loosey-goosey with my daughter, allowing her to stay up and eating things that he doesn't approve of. And it's really cramping my style, my life. I feel like he's going overboard.
How old is your daughter?
She's 5.
Greg, what's your side of this?
Well, the marriage has been fine and great. She lets us stay up. I mean, you know, she lets us stay up way past, like, even 9 o'clock. But lets us stay up, lets her eat whatever she wants. You know, junk food and stuff like that. And even lets her, like, curse at times, which is crazy to me. You know, I think there should be more structure, honestly. You need to have a healthy environment, at least for a child. She's 5 years old. You know, she's like a sponge. So, you know, anything that you say now, she's going to keep the rest of her life. And you never know where she's going to end up.
Let me just ask here. So it doesn't sound like it's a discipline situation. You're not upset. It's not that your daughter is being disciplined at this point. You just don't like the fact that Greg is lobbying for more structure.
The whole thing with the cursing, you know, we say these things, right? And so I try not to draw attention to yelling at her for them because she'll just keep saying them. And the weekends are when we stay up late and get junk food. And quite frankly, I think he's being a little controlling with regard to this, and it's not working for my daughter. It's not working for me.
Greg, do you have any children of your own?
No, I do not.
Okay.
But it's still, I've seen, I have nieces and nephews, and, you know, I've seen, you know, the good and the bad. Structure being put down early in life helps with growth.
I'm sure Greg can read. Right? I mean, any professional or somebody that you see on television or things that you see online tells you that structure is important. You know, I think that a lot of the wording is pretty telling, Sarah, when you said, you know, Greg's cramping my style and our style. Your daughter's 5.
I mean, she is in a class where she has structure, and she's in class all day, and she comes home and she needs to relax a little bit. This is not like all the time.
Right, but your 5-year-old does not have input on your parenting style. She's 5.
Well, I don't think that's...
She doesn't have any input on that. She doesn't know what would be best for her. She knows what she wants.
I don't think that that's the problem, Raven. I think that the problem here is that Sarah has a parenting style that has worked for her this entire time, and now Greg is coming in and trying to put what his parenting style would be on her child.
That's marriage, right? I mean, if you guys are married, you got to come to a happy medium on how you're going to raise your daughter the rest of her life, because she's not going to stop growing at 5 or 6 years old or 10. You're growing a person. You're not growing a friend.
Well,
you're growing one for a lifetime.
And I think it's a good one to ask our audience is if, you know, Greg, you guys have only been married for a year and your daughter is 5 years old. How much of a say does Greg actually have in her life? That's the question. So let's see. 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Sarah and Greg have been married for 1 year, and Sarah has a 5-year-old daughter from her previous marriage. And Greg does not really approve of the way that Sarah parents. She says that she's very lax on a lot of the rules, and he wants her to be a little bit more strict, but she is not all about that at all.
Specifically, she lets her daughter stay up late. She lets her eat junk food. She lets her curse. Greg doesn't think any of these things are appropriate, thinks that it's going to lead to bigger problems down the road, and says, listen, this is not the way that we should be raising her. Let's change some of these rules. But Greg says, you know, or Sarah says, basically, you're cramping my style, and back off.
Right. How much say does Greg really have in her parenting style? 1-800-330-9999. Debbie, whose side are you on?
I'm on the stepdad side. I think the woman should be happy that he wants to be involved in her healthy choices of food. And she's not a five-year-old's friend. She's the mother. And I think she's happy. You know, she should be grateful that the stepdad is interested in doing the right thing for her daughter.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Sarah and Greg have been married for 1 year, and Sarah has a five-year-old daughter from a previous marriage. Greg does not approve of the way that Sarah parents, says she's way too lax with her rules, and he wants her to be a little bit more strict.
Wants her to eat better, wants to make sure that she's got a regular bedtime and stop cursing. It's a learning curve when you first start living together, but they're married now. They're a family, so they got to figure this out.
Sarah disagrees. She says, listen, I love you, but this is my parenting style and it works for me. How much of a say does he really have? 1-800-330-9999. John, whose side are you on?
Well, I really don't have a vote, but I have a piece of advice for Greg. Bro, back off for your own sake and sanity. I made myself sick for years trying to do the same thing you are. If she wants to let her five-year-old curse, that's on her.
Shadea, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband side. Unfortunately, once you make that vow, your kid is my kid. I feel like if we're going to be in this together, the kids are involved as well. So therefore, you got to come to a mutual agreement. This kid is going to suffer because one parent is one way and the other parent is the other way. I don't think no one should be arguing about parenting styles. You got to come to a mutual agreement so that it can work for the kid.
Hey, Cindy, whose side are you on today?
I'm on the husband's side. Treating the children since they're younger is way better than waiting until they're older and already know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just like anybody's learned behavior, right? If there's something that I've been getting away with for a long time and then you're going to tell me when I hit 12 or 13 that I can't, that could be a problem or trying to roll back
it's
on it.
Gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
In 5 years, both she's already know what to expect later on in life if they train her from now the right way.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Greg, our audience agreed with you. Sarah, I think that he wants to be a bigger part of your daughter's life, and he wants to have input, and that's important, and that's beneficial, and hearing him out and working together is the way to go.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, we've been by ourselves, you know, and so having a new person come in, it is a little, you know, it's different. And so I think we have to kind of adapt to the change. And Greg, I really appreciate you. It's just maybe the way you say things, you know, we can work on. But I'm here for you.
I appreciate that. Definitely appreciate that.
Greg, it's tough to be heard in these situations all the time without seeming like you're screaming, right? So you
right.
need to, you know, ease into it early on. But I think that it's wise that you guys get closer to somewhere in the middle sometime soon. You know, at 5, loosey-goosey is fine, right, Sarah? At 13 and 14, it could look a lot different, especially if it's been loose for a long time. You guys might be thankful, obviously, that you had this conversation earlier rather than later.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $3,600 thanks to Cricket. Switch to Cricket for fast and powerful nationwide 5G on all plans. Smile, you're on Cricket. Hey, Samantha and Piper, you guys ready to play today?
Yes, we are.
All right, ladies, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, you two.
All right. Okay, so Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You just have to get more right than Raven, and you win the cash. You have about 3 seconds to answer each one. Ready to do it?
Yes.
Okay, remember, ties go to Raven. Number one, Pedro Pascal was photographed coming out of a Starbucks, and the internet is talking about his supercharged caffeine order. Like he had 6 shots of espresso in that thing. He is on what current HBO show?
The Last of Us.
Number two, Michael J. Fox shared a photo of his new puppy named Blue. In Back to the Future, at what miles per hour did the DeLorean time machine need to hit in order to travel through time?
Oh, God. 180?
Number three, Hugh Grant is trending because he seemed like he was annoyed to be at the Oscars last night after an interview he gave on the red carpet with what famous model and TV presenter?
Ashley Grant.
Number four, I really wanted you to get one. Good. Number four, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is right next to where the Oscars were last night. And last week, Jennifer Aniston and Lisa Kudrow stood by their castmate's side as she received her star. Who was that?
Is that the... she played Phoebe, and I for her name. Oh, no.
That's okay. No. Number five. It's too late. I'm sorry, baby. Number five, a lot of controversy because Jamie Lee Curtis won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress over Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett was nominated for what movie?
Damn, I don't know that one.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in. You got the one I needed you to get and none of the other ones, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
$3,600. Let's see. How'd you do?
2 out of 5.
Not great. Wow. Okay, here we go.
Number one, Pedro Pascal was photographed coming out of a Starbucks, and the internet is talking about his supercharged caffeine order. He ordered like 6 shots of espresso in his coffee.
Oh, man, I wish I could do it.
He's on what current HBO show?
The Last of Us. Finale was last night.
Yes. Number two, Michael J. Fox shared a photo of his new puppy, Blue. Very cute. In Back to the Future, at 1 mile per hour, the DeLorean need to hit in order to travel through time.
That's easy. 88.
Right, which is ridiculous. Like, sometimes, I'm not even going to say that. It's not right. 88 miles per hour doesn't seem that fast in the grand scheme of things. Number three, Hugh Grant is trending because he seemed like he was annoyed to be at the Oscars last night after an interview on the red carpet. And that interview was with what famous model and TV presenter?
Isn't it Ashley Graham who does that?
Yes, and yeah. I didn't think for 1 second you knew that.
Oh, I know that.
Number four, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is right next to the Oscars where they were held last night. And last week, Jennifer Aniston and Lisa Kudrow stood by their castmate's side as she received her star. Who was that?
Courteney Cox.
That's right. And number five, a lot of controversy because Jamie Lee Curtis won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress over Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett was nominated for what movie?
Wakanda Forever, Black Panther 2.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, ladies. He took you down 5-2. Wasn't even close. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Samantha and Piper, and we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, girls. Enjoy that shirt. $3,700 tomorrow, Anna.